Hey everybody, welcome to the Faith and Fandom Artist Alley Aftermath podcast as we discuss adventures in Artist Alley. Today we're going to be talking about our recent adventure to Empire Comic Con in, hold on, let me get the city right. It's not Savannah. Their first show is in Savannah. This one was in Springfield, Georgia, in Effingham County. So, hang on tight. We're going to talk about our fun adventure to just the tip top of Georgia for a one-day show. And if you have been around for this podcast for a while, not the aftermath, but Faith and Fandom in general, a while back ago, we did an interview with Hugo Soto of Empire Comic Con, and Hugo did a really cool interview with me before his first Comic Con, which was the original Empire Comic Con, and it was one of these things where Hugo was taking some big risks and some big steps to put out his first ever really big show on his own. And, you know, even in our podcast, you know, we were discussing way back in the day, it was a risky venture. And, it was a really great effort a couple years ago when they did the first one. But as Hugo will tell you now, that, it wasn't the biggest success. And, but what I'm really proud of, before I just go into, you know, like how stuff actually went on this show, is the fact that you have an effort where you try and do a Comic-Con and it's not the most successful situation and it's pretty detrimental. The fact that you are strong enough, willful enough, and courageous enough to get back up even when you don't have a great show, to me, that says a lot about your character, your determination, your faith in general. And so I just want to go ahead and give a big old shout out to the Soto family. You did a great job, and I'm proud of you. You're probably never going to listen to this, but if you do, I'm proud of you. And if any of you are in the lower Carolinas or northern portions of Georgia, the next time one of their shows roll around, I highly recommend going. Oh, sorry, long day. But yeah, so this was their comeback show, from their original show in 2019, and, their 2019 show was not a great time in my life, not in anything to do with the con, just my life in general. When their 2019 show happened, I was in a rough place. I was in a rough place emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, all of the above. And in fact, the day I drove down to their original show was probably one of the worst days of my life. Had a hard fight with a friend, and portions of my life have never been the same since that day. But Hugo hit me up a few weeks, months ago, somewhere in there, and asked me if I would be willing to come down again, and that they were going to be doing it in a smaller convention center. That wasn't going to be in Savannah proper. It was going to be about 40 miles north of Savannah, kind of like a small community. And, you know, that it wasn't going to be the big thing where they had a bunch of celebrities or anything like that. That they were going to be doing a smaller show and just trying to do a small show well in their community. Not trying to, you know, take over Savannah, but rather to just love their community well and make some cool opportunities. I said yes. They've always been big supporters of Faith and Fandom, and I really enjoy the couple as adults as well, Hugo and Amanda. And so I said yes, and I committed to do that, and because I wanted to support them and have their backs. So, my daughter Rosa and I packed all our gear. I packed all the gear. You know, she didn't help. Not shame, just life is busy. packed all the gear on a Friday morning and went and checked Rosa out of school at about 1 o'clock. Checked her out a little bit early, and I took her with me because traveling is always better with people. B, she knows I'm a better human when I have other humans with me. And C, she had just gotten a Nezuko cosplay from My Hero Academia, and she really wanted a chance to wear it. So she literally signed on for a whole weekend of travel just so she could wear her costume. And, you know, that's how you know you're raising a con kid. But we checked out, made the drive down from North Carolina to Georgia. Pretty smooth drive overall. Then we hit our first roadblock in the fact that the address on the event page did not take you to the event site. Like, the last 20 minutes of the drive, we were literally concerned for our safety. just because, like, it was some Deliverance-ish. And it went from looking like a scene from Elizabethtown to looking like a scene from Deliverance to just general concern of what's going on with life. And, but we eventually just changed. We stopped using the address and we just looked up the name of the location. Lo and behold, we got there and I made sure I hit them up to let them know, hey, we need to work on getting your address fixed. And so we went on down to the con to set up. And, you know, I'd been talking to Hugo setting up stuff for the show for a while. So we didn't do a lot of official correspondence emails and stuff like that. Like, I designed their road signs for their con, helped to make some graphics, edit some videos. I did my part to try and help them out. And I guess I missed the memo because we weren't doing official emails that I was supposed to break my old table. Which is always one of those fears that just kind of sits in the back of your mind as you're pulling up someplace. It's like, was I supposed to bring my own table? Because that's happened twice to me in the last year where I was going towards a con and I was supposed to have brought a table and I wasn't aware. And and so it's just like, oh, no, that's not a great life situation. And so I was really grateful they had some tables available and they let me have one. But this was, let's say, this was a smaller show in terms of the fact that it was a full, like a little bigger than a high school gym, but it was a convention center gym floor. About half the room was vendors. About half the room was tables and gaming and stuff like that and food trucks. There was a really cool coffee shop, and I'm going to get on that in a minute. But you didn't walk in and think, wow, this is the biggest Comic-Con I've ever been to. But it was for a local community. It was $5 to get in, and there was more than $5 worth just in the little two rows that they had set up on the first two rows that you got there. One, I was really glad to be there. Two, they, one of my favorite vendors from around the area is, this guy who makes metal signage. And, he does like almost like die cuts with metal. And, I've bought some stuff like a One Up, like a White Lantern logo, some different stuff like that. And I actually got his info because we're going to have him make some metal signs for our church. And but they're one of my favorite people just to watch with them. They had us right beside a plushie, like a crocheting plushie person, which was cool. Their stuff was ridiculously cute. And the place that was already going to get my money right out the gate, because I was Hugo had posted some of their stuff was there is a coffee shop called Stir. And if you've seen some of my recent pictures, I've been wearing their hat. But Stir is a coffee shop that's, you know, actually trying to improve the quality of life in their area, for their community, feel like for the gospel. They're just doing a lot of good stuff. And so I was really excited about them and to be able to get fresh coffee that's not just a convention center coffee was super dope. And I think we went through 4 cups of coffee in the time that we were there. So that was nice. I got a nice hat from them, and they also had a barbecue dude who, cause con food is terrible just in general. Like con food is never amazing, inside a convention center. And so they had a pizza place, Stoner's Pizza, which was one of their sponsors. They had, a barbecue place right outside that was making turkey legs stuffed with macaroni and cheese. That sounded kind of gangster. And, so they did that. There's a lot of gaming, a lot of stuff like that. And, there was a few cosplayers. There was, some young kids walking around, and, we had a couple of teenagers that literally kept bouncing back to our booth. Now, if you've seen pictures of my booth at all from most cons since like June, you may have noticed some framed, or not even framed, I guess they're not framed, they're comic book page decoupages on canvases. So what I'm doing is I take some extra comic books or stuff like that that I'm not keeping, and I'll cut them up. Sorry for the comic book fans that just had an aneurysm. I'll cut them up and make cool patterns and stuff like that and decoupage them to some canvases and sell them for $5. And, you know, they're not like the most amazing thing. I started doing them because I was going to be in Florida for a week and, at the beginning of the summer doing a camp and then heading to a con. So I thought it would be cool to take that as a crafting project to Florida. Since I was going to be, you know, on the site the whole time. And it was actually pretty cathartic. And, you know, I would do my sessions at camp, walk in, paint some decoupage and do that. And so over the while, I started putting these things together. And some of them are really cool. Some of them are not. You can definitely tell they're not 100% professional. But I like them. But the reality is they're like probably the worst selling thing at my booth ever. But again, I like them. And you know what? It's fun for me to do. But like some of those decoupages I've been carrying around since June and like made zero progress. Sold some of them, but literally the first 5 minutes of the show, this young lady walks up and buys 2 Firefly decoupages. And I'm like, and Rosa just starts laughing at me because she knows these things don't sell at all. And she knows these things aren't, you know, big ticket items or anything like that. And so we're just like, wow, that's kind of crazy. And so within the first 5 minutes or so, we sold 2 of the things that haven't moved in a hot minute. And then like literally 4 minutes later, another dude walks up and buys 2 more. And, you know, it's just nuts. I was like, what's happening? Why? What's going on in North Georgia that people want my decoupage canvases? And so we kind of laughed about it. So that was literally the first hour of the show. 4 of the 10 that I brought were gone. And over the rest of the show, like just between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m., that little girl, along with her sidekick, came back and bought every one of my decoupages, like all of them, and a bunch of candles, and a book. And so this one little teenage girl and her sidekick, who was dressed like the Joker, bought all of my decoupages, some candles, and a book. And it was just like, holy cow. And I actually got up from the table and went over and found Hugo, who, you know, is the showrunner, and told him that literally by 11 o'clock in their sleepy little town convention center with, you know, 30 vendors tops or whatever, that I did more than at his big show. So, like, in the first hour, I had already done more than I did at his big show, which was just kind of crazy. And Rosa is Rosa's my biggest supporter for Faith and Fandom, but she's also my biggest inside joke person with it, because she knows what's great and she knows what sucks. And so she just kind of laughs. She's like, "Your decoupage is sold." And so it was this crazy experience. Just with that. But these kids kept coming by, and I honestly don't even think it was about my stuff. I think they just wanted somebody to have some genuine conversations with. And, you know, that's our booth. We talk to kids and have serious conversations and genuine conversations and kind conversations. And I think that's really what it was, is that these kids weren't, like, overly dazzled by my stuff. They were just encouraged by our conversations and our presence and everything else. And it was just really neat to see that. So that was a really cool experience. We also had some really good and spiritually encouraging conversations with people. Got to really share the heart of what Faith and Fandom was about with a few people. And you know, it was a good, encouraging turnout. Now, one of the things I've been doing, if you've caught me at a con lately, and I've been bringing my Pokemon card collection and trying to organize them in a numerical order. And so, you know, I've got my normal booth set up, but then, like, right on the edge of the table, normally, like, where I keep my phone or coffee or whatever, I laid out all, like, 900 Pokemon cards in stacks of hundreds. So there was, like, a 0 to 99, a 100, a 200, 300. So I had all of them stacked up, and I would just, like, casually pull a card out of my box, see where it went, put it in its stack, and just organize Pokemon cards. So that was also a fun thing to do. My daughter Rosa has been playing, or we both have, we've been playing Metroid Dread. And so she played it all the way through to where she killed the battery on the Switch and then plugged it up to our portable battery so she could play it some more. So good con experience with that. And honestly, it was just nice and encouraging, and it was a good show. I was personally really happy to see Hugo and Amanda have a good show, because I know they've been kind of carrying the weight of some discouragement for a while with their previous show. And so I was genuinely happy for them to have a good show experience. Most of the vendors and stuff that I talked to were having a good experience. You know, and I had dope coffee. And but I had probably more conversations, sales, interactions, and everything else in that one little 10 a.m. to 5 a.m. tiny show than I did at the show previously, like the weekend before. And probably, I probably had more interaction at that one small day show than I did over the last three cons I did, maybe. Yeah, maybe. So, you know, I was grateful. It was good. And I just really enjoyed the experience that I had some seriously good conversations, followed some people with some social stuff, being able to put them in places where we could just have honest, genuine dialogues about faith, about their stuff. And, you know how you, like, when somebody walks up and you think that they're going to be, like, super skeptical, like, they look like they're about to hit you with a brick of sass, and, like, that they're not going to appreciate what you're doing. Because I get that look a lot. This one older gentleman let's say 55, walked up and he was looking at my stuff, and I thought I was getting the skeptic look or the grumpy look. And then he really threw me off because he grabbed my book Flocked Up, which is just my church series book about how sometimes we suck as Christians. And he grabbed that, and I'm like, oh no. I'm like, this is going to be terrible. But it turned into this really encouraging thing where he was so grateful about what I was doing. And when he started sharing his thoughts and things, and we just had this really great conversation, and to the point where he was like shaking hands and just overly encouraging. Honestly, it was just one of those things that I didn't even see coming at all. And it turned into like one of the most encouraging interactions. Then also, I want to say this too, that it's always neat when people who follow me on social media and we meet for the first time at stuff like this. I had a dude named Drew Govier, who is a My Nerdy Profile on Insta, who followed me. He came to and met me for the first time at the show. So that was kind of really neat too, to have somebody meet in person for the first time from a con. Now, before I dip out of here and say just overall, it was a good con, good financial response, good movement response. I have a lot less books, had some really great spiritual conversations with everyone that we had there. Had good conversations with my daughter, which was, you know, that's a dope thing too. Does it hit me somewhere in all this that these are, you know, these con trips with my kid are a valid form of ministry all on its own, because it's really getting to pour into her when I don't normally get to as much. And these are going to be the times we treasure. So on that treasuring time, wanted to, you know, let her pick out somewhere nice to eat and for her food on Friday night. The two times she's gone to me to a con in Savannah, we didn't get to eat in Savannah, either because of timing or whatever. And just of distance to cover, like, I had to preach Sunday morning, so, like, we didn't have time to go back into Savannah before I had to head back, stuff like that. So Friday night, I let her pick, where we were going to eat. So we weren't going to make it into actual Savannah to eat. So I let her pick, and we ended up finding this place about 20 miles out of the way, but not Savannah traffic out of the way, called the Chocolate Martini Bar. And it was a place that obviously had, like, heavy on the chocolate of everything. And it was fancy, but not too fancy. And you know, we had dope food. We had good appetizers. We got like cheese. We got waffle fries. They were loaded, smothered, and covered in everything. And we ate those for most of our lunch on Saturday as well. And then we got these sundaes that were, you know, the size of our heads. And she got like a mocha sundae. I got a cannoli sundae, y'all. A cannoli sundae. I love cannolis, by the way. And so we got that. And then that was on Friday night. That was just a really good experience. On Saturday, as we left the con, we were heading out. We had, you know, passed all the normal food stuff and, on the interstate, and I just wasn't feeling what I was seeing. And I passed a sign on the interstate that said Fuzzy's Taco Shop. Now, if you've known me for a while, or, you know, followed any of my other non-specifically nerdy social media stuff, Fuzzy is a name I have long used for things. When I was in a Blues Brothers band, my, not Jake and Elwood Blues name was Reverend Fuzzy Blues. My Snapchat is a fuzzy potato. Like my names on social stuff have always been kind of fuzzy. So I've always enjoyed that. And so when I saw Fuzzy's Taco Shop, I'm like, I'm pulling over and I am going to go here. And if the food sucks, I'm still going to buy like a shirt or a hat or something. And, but lo and behold, the food was actually great. And Rosa and I sat there and ate, and I totally bought a beanie that said Fuzzy's Taco Shop. We ended our drive out because by Rosa listening to all of the Rent soundtrack on the way home while she played Metroid. And yeah, but it was a good life experience. It was a good, I have like zero regrets for that trip. I think they did a great job with the con. And another cool thing is I have a Snorlax onesie that I got it summer of 2019. Yeah, I got it summer 2019. And in October of 2019, I left it at Empire Comic Con in Savannah. And it's been sitting at the Soto's house the whole time. Well, I finally got my onesie back. So prepare yourself, world, for more of Hector and a Snorlax onesie. But yeah, that's Artist Alley Aftermath for Empire Comic Con Round 2. Good job, guys. I'm so proud of you for what you're doing. And to my knowledge, that is my last con for 2021. Yeah, I have like a church, Christmas, like a festival thing, like a bazaar market thing, or a market. Yeah, I have a church Christmas market on November 20th, but past that, every other con I was scheduled for is canceled. So I don't know like when or if I'll get to do anything else in the near future, but that's what it's looking like. So yeah, thanks for being supporters. Thanks for being kind and awesome with that. And that being said, speaking of supporters, let me pop right over to our Patreon. So I can just say thank you to our Patreon supporters and everybody that does that and is involved in helping make our financial stuff possible. Because literally you help make hotels and booth fees and like re-up, because like literally just for this show, I had to order more t-shirts and books and stuff like that. And it takes a lot of capital to be able to move this. And we ended also giving away probably 8 books while we were there. And so our Patreon supporters literally make all of that stuff possible. So to our supporters that have, are still giving up and their time and effort and stuff this month, Mike Perna, Todd Turner, John Jacobs, which we owe him like 4 podcasts, Zach Harris, Caleb Grimm, Jeanette Skaggs, Chris Poirier, Chris Cook, Jason Bullock, Christina Ray, Sarah Lewis, Patrick Gale, Rebecca Godlove, Adam Davis, and Stephanie Schwann. All of y'all give and help make Faith and Fandom be all that it is and all that it can be in the future. And so thank y'all so much for being the great blessings that you are. And, you know, we have some new supporters as well that are jumping on for November. So I want to say thank you as well. Jason Crutchfield is going to be becoming one of our supporters in beginning in November. Jason's a longtime homie and supporter of Faith and Fandom as well. He used to always bring me Mountain Dew at cons. But yeah, we're so grateful for all of you and what you're doing. And if you are a fan or a friend or a encourager or supporter of what we do with all this, and you would like to be a Patreon supporter, you can just head on over to patreon.com/faithandfandom. But thank you guys so much, and thank you for sharing your geeky heart with me as I share mine with you.